Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is WWE Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund, and you're listening to Suplex City Limits with Jim and Randall. Great show. Couple of all good pricks as far as I'm concerned. Please. Yeah. Truly.
Suplex City, bitch.
Welcome and thank you for downloading episode 57 of Suplex City Limits for May 1st, 2016. Coming straight out of Belleville, it's your boy Jim Vicious, along with the ding to my dong.
Randall Commando coming at you again.
Today we are joined by the gentleman of rock band Max Out. How's it going, guys?
Yo!
It's going good.
We've got Elliot and Stosh from Max Out hanging out with us today. Suplex City Limits available for listening everywhere fine podcasts are found. We follow back all followers on Twitter at Suplex City Limit. And if you want to help support the show, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/suplexcitylimits. Pick up one of our many t-shirt designs available. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us on a Saturday afternoon.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited. Love the pod.
There you go. This is the part where we act like we haven't been talking for the last 15 minutes. So we came across you guys on Twitter and YouTube due to the fact that you have a new music video featuring none other than Virgil. And Virgil playing drums and shit?
Yeah, that's it.
I was sold from the get-go on that, man.
Yeah, the video is kayfabe, which, you know, we're me and Elliot, this is Stosh, we're both giant wrestling marks, as you know, since we wrote a song called Kayfabe and have a video with Virgil in it.
Right.
Probably can be divined from those particular reasons. But yeah, we if you haven't seen the video, go out there, go on YouTube, type in Kayfabe and Max Out with two X's, M-A-X-X-O-U-T, and you'll be delighted to see our old pal, Ted DiBiase's ying to his yang to play it. He does it. We have to tell you right now, spoiler alert, he does a lonely Virgil table spot, which we'll have to talk about when we actually film that. But yeah, great time was had by us filming with Virgil, hanging out in my basement here in Pittsburgh, and the end product can be seen on the YouTube.
There you go. I'd be kind of afraid about Virgil knowing where I live.
Well, that's on me. I'm an idiot, basically, is the short story on that. But yeah, I mean, when the opportunity arose to invite Virgil over to hang out in my basement, I didn't say no. I actually encouraged it because I'm a jabroni.
Yeah. there was no. He didn't play drums with Olive Garden breadsticks, though.
That was our bad. We should have gotten the breadsticks. He actually came. He actually said he wanted to do that. He was like, dude, you guys should have got some Olive Garden breadsticks for this. And I was like, shit.
Do you guys have any insight into his fascination with Olive Garden?
I don't know, but he did bring it up in the basement a couple times. You know, beyond the playing with the breadsticks, he said he was hungry and going to go to Olive Garden after he got done filming with us, which was kind of funny because it was still like, it was like, what, like 11:30? It was like, you're going to just go out and eat breadsticks at 11:30 at an Olive Garden? But hey, to each and all their own, I guess.
from what I gather, he only eats there. Like, you can't talk to Virgil without Olive Garden coming up, man. That's his shit.
Yeah, I was surprised that Olive Garden didn't really come up in the negotiation process for having him come over and hang out in my basement and play drums.
I'm pretty sure that was the first question I asked you guys when I was talking to you on Twitter, setting this up, was like, Was Olive Garden involved? Did you go to Olive Garden? If I were you, living in the same city as him, having his phone number, I might give him a call and offer to take him out, dude.
I should. I think I will. I think that's a great idea. But I'm kind of disappointed that, like, the whole negotiation process didn't just take place at, like a conference meeting inside of an Olive Garden.
He comes into the back. You guys are sitting at, like, a corner table.
Exactly.
That would have been a smart move on his part. He's like, yo, I'm going to sign this contract, but we're doing it at Olive Garden, and you guys are paying.
Yeah.
That would have been a smart move.
I'm surprised that you didn't do that, actually.
Yeah,
that
would have been smart.
If you go anywhere with Virgil, chances are you're paying. Oh, that's awesome. So how long have you guys been making music together?
That's a good question. Me and Elliot, we played our first show, God, probably like 8 years ago.
2008.
Yeah, we played at a basement of a pizza place. And that was just a match made in heaven. It was just like, you know, Macho Man and Elizabeth at SummerSlam 91.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, prior to that, we kept going to karaoke all the time together, and it took me a long time to realize, like, listening to Elliot bust out Axl Rose and Vince Neil, that, holy shit, you know, this guy should be a vocalist in a band I put together. So it took me, as for most things, it took a long time for the light bulb to go off above my head, but we did play back then. But in terms of getting pretty serious about this whole Max Out thing, that's been a project we've really been working on for the past year and a half, I would say. It probably took about the better part of a year to write and record all the music and put all that together. And after we released the album, which has also got a wrestling tie-in because it's called The Big Push, after doing that, now we're just, you know, we're doing the promotion for it, which is where the Virgil video comes in, and we're pretty much just getting our stuff together to start going out and push it and play some shows. We're actually playing next Saturday in Elliot's fine domicile of Detroit. We're playing at a club called Diesel, not to be confused with our friend Kevin Nash, but it is a Diesel and it is in Detroit, but it's not at like Kevin Nash's brothel or anything like that.
His brothel, the Torn Quad.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is a great name for a Detroit strip club.
Yeah, a Torn Quad. Absolutely. Yeah.
Kevin Nash, proprietor, owner. That's awesome. This was the debut album for the band, yeah?
Yep, it was the debut album for us. 12 songs and a cloud of dust. Again, it's called The Big Push because we're hoping it leads to a big push, obviously. Nobody in Stamford, Connecticut has anything to do with us getting over, but yeah, we're in the first single off of there is Kayfabe. So, I mean, obviously we got a lot of wrestling Mark-ism in our band vocabulary and discography. So.
Yeah, the video also, along with Virgil playing drums and various other things, does include quite a bit of ECW action figures as well.
Yep, and we have Elliot to thank for that. You'll have to tell him the story about your inspiration, Elliot.
Yeah, I was at an animation festival, and before the animation started, they were just playing 90s action figure commercials. And I was, I stopped at the light bulb. The light bulb just went off in my head. I was like, dude, we're going to do some, instead of even doing shitty shot stop clock animation, let's just play with the action figures like in those old 90s commercials.
Yeah, that's the best part of it. Yeah, it's not, not to be confused, it is not stop motion. It's just like action figures in hands and shit. It's awesome.
Because if you go back and you watch those old 90s commercials, dude, it's all about, all you need to do is just have a really nice background and it looks cool as shit. So
it always looks like it way more fun than it actually ends up being, getting action figures.
Yep. Absolutely, because you can't like buy the awesome background. That's where they get you. It's like you have these kids like blasting each other in the head with, you know, G.I. Joe action figures all while playing with them under a waterfall, you know, in a rainforest. And you're like, I want that set. What do I got to do to get the set?
Yeah, no, not going to happen.
Yeah, so we had to do the equivalent that we could, which is just green screen my basement and have me and Elliot play with a bunch of action figures while, you know, having people film us, which is just kind of ridiculous that We got these two grown ass men, and this is what we're doing with our spare time.
All right, action, go.
Exactly, exactly. No, make Sabu do a freaking moonsault. Make him do a Hurricane Rana.
No, the video is definitely hilarious, man. There's a lot of funny shit in there. Aside from Virgil, so a pretty painless transaction. He came over. He did it, and he.
Yeah, I mean,
have you heard from him since?
He did call me once to shoot the shit, which was hilarious because it was like at 9 a.m. on when I was at, you know, my actual day job. So I'm just sitting there, and the phone rings, and I'm like, huh, someone's calling me from Pittsburgh, and I don't recognize the number, and I pick it up, and he was like, it's Stosh, Max Out, buddy, and I'm like, oh shit, I know that voice, and then he just like. The first story out of his mouth was like this long story about how Tito Santana taught him how to wrestle with psychology. And I'm just like, I'm at work, you know? And I'm like, God, I hope nobody can overhear me right now because I'm saying things like, Tito Santana said you should work the shoulder more. You know, I'm just like saying all these crazy things and all my coworkers are walking by. But yeah, that was the last I heard of him. And then after that, you know, we've seen him, like, he made an appearance on the Edge and Christian show, and he was at the NBA All-Star game, so, and he's actually been in a couple other music videos since, too, so I think me and Elliot should definitely take the credit for, you know, boosting his profile in this, he's getting a little bump right now, so.
Was he different than he's kind of made himself out to be now? Because he always has this, like, super heel thing that he does, like a real-life super heel thing.
What I'll say, the thing that's really interesting about him, and this is the thing that probably me and Elliot talk about the most, is that he totally embraces this gimmick because he knows it's given him relevancy. And, like, it was interesting just having him come and hang out because he was an absolute total pro when actually shooting. I mean, I'll have to tell the story. He arrived an hour earlier than scheduled, stayed an hour later, regaled us with just story upon story about the business. Like, basically, it couldn't have been easier. And then, like, the thing that me and Elliot were most nervous about shooting was to bring up him doing a table spot, you know, the Lonely Virgil autograph table spot.
Yeah.
Like, we were both like, oh, let's just save that for the end just in case if we piss him off, you know, and he storms out of the place, at least we'll have some footage of him, you know, before that happens.
Or is he going to get mad and hit you with whatever his finisher was?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the $1 million dream, right? Did he use that?
I think he did the $1 million dream. I think that's what it was.
He's such an interesting case study in the history of wrestling because – that was such an opportunity, that whole angle with him and, you know, Million Dollar Man when he finally rebelled. And, like, that could have been a springboard to huge success, but it just wasn't.
SummerSlam 91, that was the big event where he finally went over and got the Million Dollar Belt and put Ted DiBiase to sleep. And then after that, it was just kind of like mid to low card face guy, you know. In that era,
yeah, Ted DiBiase says that he wasn't very good in the ring. He didn't really put in a lot of, you know, to get better. I don't know about that, but
yeah.
Then he went to WCW and made a bunch of money, presumably. And yep. Do you recall him wrestling more than one match in WCW? Anybody?
All I remember is him being just kind of like one of the guys in the background for the NWO. And the fact that he was in the NWO is kind of mind-blowing, too.
And whenever, he had such a sweet gig.
Yeah, whenever somebody would come out to like fight the NWO, he'd be the first one to take the bump.
Yeah, yep. Imagine that being like your gig is like, you just like, you walk down to the ring five times, take a couple bumps.
And I see that's the part where me and Elliot, this is another discussion we have, where we wonder how he is doing. Like, not to pry into too much of his personal details, but he's probably all right financially because the story that he told us, that one of the many stories they told us that was pretty interesting, was that he said that when he got to WCW, the whole reason why he got his foot in the door in the first place is because Hogan liked him. And Hogan liked him basically because the interesting thing about Virgil is that he's kind of a teetotaler. He comes from a real strict military family. So he never drank, never did drugs. Was always an hour early every time he showed up somewhere. And just like, you know, he's pretty much the worker that you would need to have if you're running a federation. You'd need to have these guys that are reliable and, you know, he's not going to be like a guy who's politically grandstanding among the boys in the locker room. Like, he knows his place and he's there on time. And so Hogan got him over to WCW. And the one thing that was really interesting that he said to me and Elliot was that Hogan took him aside and was like, okay, Virgil, this is what you want to do when you're negotiating. Do not have the contract between you and WCW. Have the contract between you and Turner Entertainment. Make sure it's a Turner entity that's paying you and not WCW. And Virgil's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And so then the reason why that's important is when WCW declared bankruptcy, obviously if you have a contract with them and you're a creditor, you're out of luck. You're not getting any more money. But Virgil said he was getting paid until 2006 from Turner Entertainment because that entity still existed, and that's who his contract is with. So he said he sat on his ass for 6 years and got paychecks in the mail.
So, well, if you were making that much, like, do you think he would do the things he does? Like $20 for him to follow you on Twitter and stuff. Does he follow you guys on Twitter?
I think he follows us. He's tweeted at us before. I haven't actually seen if he follows us or not, but
he's probably going to hear this.
Yeah, probably. Hopefully. Hey, buddy. How's it going out there? I'll have to give you a call one of these days and take you out to Olive Garden. I still owe you one, I believe.
Dude, I want to go with so bad.
Fly out to Pittsburgh.
It's endless soup and salad, dude.
Yep, exactly.
I wonder what he orders when he goes to the Olive Garden.
Just breadsticks.
Just breadsticks.
Breadsticks and meat sauce with a side of meat sauce, yeah. That's my hope anyway. He's just like, no, just the meat sauce, no noodles. Breadsticks on the side, and then he just makes like a meat sauce breadstick sandwich. That's my hope.
It's an interesting thing to hope for.
Hey, if we can set it up, I'll do it in Periscope it because I think that would be totally awesome.
Definitely. I will watch that. That's good shit, man. That guy is classic. And seeing him, you know, like fake playing drums and stuff is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, again, we can't really say it enough. Working with him was just totally a breeze. We got done shooting like half an hour early, and again, he stayed late, hung out. The funny thing is again, with him being on time, so Elliot had come into Pittsburgh that weekend. We were shooting on a Sunday morning, how our schedules aligned, and the shoot was supposed to be at 10 o'clock in the morning, and Elliot had come in and stayed at a hotel. He didn't stay over at my place, so at 9 o'clock in the morning, my doorbell rings, or actually someone pounded on the door, and I was like, oh, it's Elliot. Elliot's an hour early. We're just going to go over the shots and, you know, set up everything, take care of stuff. So I went over and I opened the door without even like looking out the peephole or anything. I just, you know, swung it wide open, just presuming it was Elliot. And as soon as I did that, I hear this voice say, Gorilla Monsoon always told me, in show business, you gotta be an hour early because plans always change. And I look up, and there's Virgil just standing outside my house wearing his, like, Under Armour, like, onesie, basically. Just, like, first thing out of the guy's mouth. I have not met him before in the world. Doesn't know me from Adam. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, like, some sage advice that Gorilla Monsoon gave him.
His name dropping.
Like, yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, this is perfect. I don't care what happens with this video. I just open my door and I have Virgil telling me about Gorilla Monsoon within like 2 seconds of the door opening. So it's going to be a good day.
Well, there you go, Virgil. If you're listening to this, you want to come on Suplex City Limits. I'll send you a Olive Garden gift card.
Hey, don't say it unless you mean it.
Hey, getting a message on Twitter now?
Yeah, like instantly, before we even put it up.
Somehow. Yeah.
Somehow. Like the bat signal, but his is like breadsticks or something?
Yeah, a breadstick just flying through the air.
That's awesome, man. Are you have any more videos planned for songs on the album?
As a matter of fact, we do. We're going to be shooting our second music video for Narcon Atomizer.
I've been already, dude.
Yeah, May 14th. Anybody's welcome to attend, but you do have to either dress as a rock and roller or an 80s rock and roller. So, yeah, there's a little bit of dress code, either in any 80s apparel you got or rocker apparel. It's gonna be pretty dope, man. The whole idea for this music video is Stosh and I roll into a bar in Detroit, outside of Detroit, out in the sticks, kind of. But it's like the perfect location because it looks like a bar from Roadhouse. We roll in there. The bar patrons give us the stink eye, and then we look over to our left. We see the stage. And we know what we got to do. We got to, like, rock that shit. So we head over to the stage to begin the face melting. And then out of the kitchen comes a chef with a butcher's knife. And we think that we're going to get killed. But then he, like, takes the knife and he, like, just slams it into the bar. And then...
you give me the whole breakdown here.
And then out from the back pocket, boom, drumsticks.
And that chef...
Yeah, we hope. That would be funny.
It would be funny. No, yeah, we got kind of a Spinal Tap thing going on right now. We got a rotating drummer situation. Yeah, so that's kind of the breakdown. He comes out, he's our drummer, and then we just rock the shit out of the place. So it should be pretty awesome. We're pumped.
And we win everybody over who gave us the stink eye at the bar and wouldn't serve us. So it's like face turn because we... busted out an Archon atomizer on their heads. A chair shot of rock to the head.
There you go. So if you're in the Detroit area, hit these guys up on Twitter. @ Max Out Band.
You got it. MAXXOUT Band. 2 X's in Max Out.
There you go.
Yeah. Or follow us on Facebook, and you know we got all the info on there if you want to be a part of the music video.
There you go.
Just let us know. You know, just as a message.
Awesome.
Yep. The next Virgil. Be the next Virgil for us.
I don't know how attractive that is to anybody. I gotta go sit by a table, very lonely. Come on, man. That's awesome. So Max Out at Max Out Band on Twitter, Facebook. The music is available on iTunes, I'm sure.
Yep.
Caught it. I listened to it on Spotify recently, so I know it's on there.
Nice. Good. You gave us 0.0008 cents per listen on there, Jim.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I'll send you an Olive Garden gift card.
All right, dude. We have that. I prefer Johnny Carino's, but I'll take Olive Garden.
All right. 0.008 cents is coming your way, pal.
Nice, dude. So, thanks for taking the time out to come on. And, yeah, definitely everybody check out Max Out. And if you're in Detroit... getting that music video, that sounds badass. I wish I was, for the first time ever in my life, I wish I was in Detroit. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, thanks for having us, man. This is a blast. I'm glad we got it all work out. We love the pod. We're long-time listeners, and we'll continue to listen.
There you go. And if you guys have anything else you want to plug on the way out?
Not really. Just check out The Big Push. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan out there, again, the first single is Kayfabe. It's about being a pro wrestling jobber, which is another big reason why the video featured Virgil, among other things. So, I mean, check it out. Definitely check it out on YouTube, and maybe troll us if you want to. We're always up for somebody trolling us. And maybe make fun of Elliot's hair or my hair or whatever, our finishing moves. But, check it out. We'll be happy to have you.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks again to the guys from Max Out for swinging by. Super good dudes, man.
Yeah, a couple of fun dudes there, man.
That was fun.
That was a good time.
I'm sort of jealous, man. I kind of want to hang out with Virgil myself. Maybe we'll get him on the show.
Maybe. Maybe if he doesn't listen to some of the past episodes.
Well, don't tell him.
Don't tell him. Okay. Don't
tell him. Oh, shit. So let's get into the week of wrestling and talk about some news this week. Just some random stories that caught my eye over the week. Linda McMahon. That's right. Linda McMahon appears on CNN, says Donald Trump would make a good president. Thoughts on that?
I think we know this one already.
I've known Donald for over 20 years, and when I've asked before, I said, look, let me tell you what I know about him personally. He's loyal. He's an absolutely, it's a good businessman. He hires smart people around him. He is very patriotic. Yeah. He's a good man and very accomplished. I think he would make a very good president. Oh, McMahon's, they can't stop fucking working heel, can they?
No, they can't, can they?
God damn it.
It's in their blood.
There's no real point to that story. I just wanted to point out that that woman's fucking stupid. And she tried to get into politics herself.
Yeah,
scary
she did.
Fucking
she was
thought,
running
right there.
For
a senator?
Yeah, something like that in Connecticut, yeah.
There you go. Other interesting news this week. There's an arrest, a warrant out for the Dolph Ziggler's younger brother.
Yeah, for murder.
For murder.
Yeah.
Evidently, you know, this tape, I guess, of him robbing and shooting a guy.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck? We don't have this? We don't have this available?
What do you mean?
I'm looking for it right now.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I just heard that. I mean, I don't know if it's actually... They probably have it. It's not like it's available. But yeah, he was arrested after he allegedly tried to rob a guy. So, I guess he fucking shot him? That's crazy shit. So I guess we know who's... if you were wondering who's going to be winning between Ziggler and Boring Corbin this weekend. I'm probably going to put it firmly into the camp of Boring Corbin. So, that's crazy shit. I know, like, wasn't Kurt Angle's brother also arrested for murder recently? I don't know what ever happened with that.
Yeah, I remember something along them lines, yeah.
Ridiculous, man.
Scott Steiner turns down WWE Legends contract.
Well, there you go. Who is that, Scott?
Yeah, Scott Steiner.
Yeah, I saw that. I wouldn't take that shit either, man. Those Legends deals are kind of horseshit, man. It means that they can have you go wherever they want you to go, and you know, be like, oh, you're gonna go fucking sign this weekend here, and you're supposed to fucking sit and do it. And I guess he says that WWE offered him a Legends deal. His lawyer looked at it, and it's basically illegal. It's not worth the paper it's written on, so fuck them. That's why a lot of guys are leaving, like Rey Mysterio and CM Punk. It's a monopoly, and the product suffers because of it. You have two dumbasses running it in Stephanie and her fucking husband, Triple H. Scott Steiner, we love you.
That's awesome.
He is fucking great, man. I just can't beat that, man. Scotty Steiner. I would reject that shit, too. It's funny that they even offered him one. I guess he is a well-known face of, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody likes Scott Steiner. He's fucking crazy. It's awesome. A couple of announcers gone from WWE. They released Rich Brennan, who formerly did some shit on NXT. He was on the commentary team in the past. They moved him to backstage recently. I guess he was a lead announcer on SmackDown, but was moved out of there when Mauro Ranallo signed. So, I don't know. Kyle Edwards also has parted ways with the WWE, another announcer of theirs. So, I don't know what's going on there. That would be a terrible job, though.
Yeah.
You know, I would have no desire to fucking have that gig. You sit and just you're a robot. You're a puppet, basically. Vince's hand is up your ass. And you just say what he wants you to say. And plus, working for WWE would suck.
Yeah.
Like, unless you guys want us to write Raw, then in that case, it'd be great. Send us over some contracts. This week on SmackDown, it didn't make air, obviously. It was edited out. During an Ambrose Asylum, Ric Flair kind of gets carried away and kind of tells Natalya to kill herself, dude. You see that? There's actually footage of it from the crowd. Of him telling her to kill himself. And Ambrose fucking starts laughing, which is great.
That's awesome.
And then Ric Flair had another deal at the airport the other day, where at first, a lot of witnesses were saying he was drunk and he was in the bar. But the official statement is he was not drunk, but he had cut himself and was bleeding, and who fucking knows? How does this guy not have a babysitter on the road?
Right.
Don't you feel like you should have somebody with the guy to make sure he, like, doesn't fucking get smashed drunk and start crying about his son and shit? It's pretty ridiculous. So I don't know what's going on. He was on, he made the flight, so.
He did good, good.
They did let him on the plane, I guess, right. in the end, so. Whatever. We'll be seeing him at Payback. Opposite of Natalya, who will be with Bret Hart in her corner.
Yeah.
If this sounds familiar, it's because you've already seen it in NXT a year or two ago. But it's great, man. Bret Hart, you know, he'd do a little promo for the match. He says, I do it to honor Natty. I have no desire to be there. No desire to be on TV. He just had wrist surgery, I guess. But And he says it'll be great to put Flair in the sharpshooter. So I guess expect that spot. You think Natalya takes the belt on Sunday?
I don't know what they're going to do with that. I hope so. It'd be kind of nice to see a different champion for once.
Yeah, Charlotte is... I don't think her championship run has, you know, really come to be that much. No. Again, no Sasha Banks in this equation.
That's who should be in it. We all know that. Everybody listens to
I can't believe they still... how long later we are since her debut, and she still hasn't been really used for much other than that WrestleMania main event.
She's the most over
WrestleMania event.
Yeah, she's the most over lady on the roster too.
By the time they decide to use her, she won't be, and then they'll say, "See, she's not over."
Yep.
Which is pretty much how that shit.
That's how they work, man. Yeah.
Evidently, TNA still owes Bobby Roode and Eric Young. Around $100,000 combined. Now, I guess actually while we're on it, Eric Young debuted on NXT tapings. So they did sign him from... Dude, this is almost starting to get to be like the fucking junk pile, man. What happened to developing young guys now? They're just signing all these like late 30s guys from TNA now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got...
Keeping them off the other rosters, I would suppose.
I mean, they got Joe, they've got Bobby Roode, they've got Eric Young, they have Austin Aries, they had James Storm for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably kicking himself now. DNA's going completely under. Any day now, I expect to see the death of that fucking company. But then again, we've been saying that for a long time. And he's really going to kick himself for not taking the NXT deal when he had the chance. So, yeah, TNA owes a lot of people money, and there's no way they survive, man. Do you think we see Impact under Dixie Carter's ownership come 2017?
No.
I don't think there's any way, right?
No.
It's looked dark before, but I feel like this really is the end. So we'll see about that. Getting into the shows of the week, that's kind of the news I had. You got any news?
I think that's the only news I had was the Scott Snyder thing.
You brought one. That's
I brought
still
one.
Good.
Yeah, I brought one. It was a Scott Snyder one, so it counts as two.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. The go-home show of Raw this week. What'd you think of the show overall, man?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't awful. It wasn't as good as the 2 weeks prior, but it was pretty decent, I thought.
Doable?
It was doable. I didn't want to, you know, didn't find myself wanting to get up and leave at mid-card, so no.
As I said, man, you know, no Big Show, Kane, Cena, Orton, Henry, Ryberg.
We did have to put up with a little bit of stuff. Oh,
that was unfortunate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
Could you give less of a shit about AJ Styles versus Sheamus? I believe the first time they've ever had a one-on-one matchup in the history of wrestling. I'm sure it is. And unless they wrestle on SmackDown, totally possible.
I'll show, maybe, I don't know.
Boring match.
Yeah.
Fuck, Sheamus is boring. You know, they need to really work on some kind of deal with somebody. Like I've said before, I'd be on the phone with Japan or Mexico and be like, dude, if we send over, like, you know, if we send over Sheamus and Barrett and shit, like, will you send us just two guys, anybody, you know? Send us two masked guys or two Japanese guys, anything. I just, these guys need to go away.
Yep.
But they don't fire anyone anymore. They fire announcers. They don't fire any wrestlers.
Yeah, they don't fire any talent.
You remember back in the day when there would be, not even back in the day, back until recently, where there would just be like mass firings, you know, after WrestleMania and shit? Doesn't happen anymore.
Nope.
They just take people and they'll just keep them and let their contracts run out, which, like, they pay them for nothing is really, I mean, I guess it's on the house show, huh?
Yeah, they feel.
Like, I mean, you haven't seen Kane or show or any of that shit here, but I bet they're on the house shows.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was announced that Big Slow is going to be on the house show that we or I don't know if you're going. The closer it gets, the more I regret it. we'll be going to a house show next week. So on next week's show, we'll be recapping the house show experience.
Yeah, the house show in our fine hometown.
The main event is Robot Reigns and Sheamus.
I thought we got Styles and Owens.
That's also on the card.
Oh, that's also on the card. Okay.
Yeah. Styles and Owens should be pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that should be all right.
That kind of cheered me up a little bit.
I think I'm going to go just for that. I'm not going to buy my tickets till the day before, though.
I've got some really good tickets, really close to the ring, so. But yeah, my girlfriend is a Robot Reigns fan. If she wasn't, I would be leaving before that match started to beat traffic.
Yep.
Good
God. I think you have to watch the match to beat traffic if it's... Well, I don't know how many smart fans we have around here, but to beat traffic, you would stay and watch the match because everybody would leave before that match.
Oh man, and you know too, it's like oh my, they're gonna cheer him. They're gonna cheer Robot Reigns. You know
think
it's
they
gonna
will
help.
Here? He got a huge pop down in Sioux Falls when I was down there.
Gross. Yeah, because like Joe Blow wrestling fans don't know any better, you know.
No.
They base their who they like on, I don't know what.
You going to take a sign? Like. What's your sign going to say?
Well, it's not going to be on TV, so there's no real point for a sign.
Well, you might get a reaction out of them. Who knows?
Any sign I would come up with, there's no way they'd let me take it in there.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't know.
That's why you take a dry erase board with you.
A dry erase board?
You write whatever the fuck you want on it, then.
Oh, God. It was kind of like, oh, it'll be fun for the show and shit, you know, talk about it or whatever. And then like, as it's getting closer, now that it's like less than a week away, I'm kind of like, ugh. Kind of rather just spend that Friday at home. But we'll go out and get the WWE Live experience. I haven't been to a WWE Live event since in well over a decade. So last one I was at was like 2003 or 2 or something. Funny enough, a lot of the same guys were there. We'll still be there. If we get New Day, I'll call it a win.
Yeah, right. I don't think we get New Day, though.
Yeah, probably not. Styles defeats Sheamus. Luke Gallows and Anderson appear on the stage to applaud for him, whatever. Vaudevillains and Enzo Amore had that was a pretty good segment in the ring with the New Day, kind of all three teams.
Yeah,
doing promos together. I thought that was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was all right.
You have the in-ring debut of Gallows and Anderson. These two guys, doesn't like one looks like a failed fucking cloning of the other one, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does. Like Anderson looks like they tried to clone Gallows and something got fucked up in there, you know? And they're like, that's pretty close, you know?
A little shorter, but we're good.
A little shorter, but you know, what did you think of the ring attire, music, etc.?
I wasn't a big fan of the ring attire. A little too loud.
I didn't like the music either.
Yeah, the music was kind of shitty too.
Dude, leather shorts, man.
Yeah.
Lorts? Would those be lorts?
Lorts? Yes, I do believe that's a scientific term for those.
Hashtag lorts. I didn't get it, man. I mean, I thought they were okay in the ring. I didn't really have any kind of, you know, any real complaint there with that part of it. But, yeah, I didn't like the music. And the big, what was the big coat things?
Yeah.
I don't really.
I think they just gave him some shit out of the Miz's closet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that, so. Overall, pretty decent, though. I mean, they're big guys. I thought they're, you know, in-ring look pretty good. It's good to see new people, so. But, yeah, like, why they're so... I mean, just so over with the, you know, a lot of smarks because of the Bullet Club, and it's like, calm down, dude. Yeah, you know, like, these guys are they're not, you know, it's nothing to be really excited about. But Sami Zayn and Rusev. Notice on this show, Sheamus came out to his old solo entrance, and also Rusev came out with Lana.
Yep.
For the first time in a long time.
In a few months, yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, Lana's back with Rusev. Yeah, don't care. Sami Zayn defeats Rusev. Kevin Owens attacks, of course, building to, yeah, by far the most interesting match of the upcoming pay-per-view. Cruz and Stardust. Cruz wins with a spin-out powerbomb. This match was also on SmackDown. Cruz won again on SmackDown, so I really don't know, man. I have started to have fears for this guy.
Well, we knew what they were gonna do with him.
He is just Neville 2.0, man.
Yep.
He's just taking on jobbers, doing squash matches with jobbers. Like, there's no real, well, there's no substance to it, man. And a lot of people are saying he's not ready. Oh, he wasn't ready. I don't know if it's on him. I don't really put much of it on him. It's, you can only do what you're given to do. So we'll see where that goes, man. I like the guy, and I want to see him succeed, but I just don't know. With this, like, what does this accomplish? What does him beating Stardust accomplish, really? Or him beating the social outcast? It's it's not really anything.
No, it's nothing.
You have a fucking in-ring Jericho and Ambrose nonsense. I mean, are you have any interest in that match at Payback?
It's not the worst match they've put on in a while, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. Also, with that Zayn and Owens, they have a video package for that, which is fantastic. They need to do more of that shit. I don't know why they don't. That package is really well put together, really sums up, you know, the history of it and how it's been going on for fucking ever. Really builds that matchup, and somewhere along the way, they got away from that. You know, you go back not even that long ago, and you watch some of the WrestleManias and shit, every match had a package. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays? No. Nowadays, just randomly on the show, they announce Ryberg and Kalisto on the kickoff show. They haven't even wrestled. They wrestled last week on SmackDown, I guess, but Ryberg hasn't even been on Raw since WrestleMania.
No. Ryberg hasn't been on anything since WrestleMania. He hasn't even made pay-per-views since before WrestleMania.
That is some lazy fucking bullshit, dude. I mean, they honestly, I would rather take a fucking Owen Hart sit-down pile driver than watch Ryberg and Kalisto wrestle each other again. Come on. It's just lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. That's it. There's no point in putting in any more effort on our end because it would be more effort than they've put in. So let's not do that. What do you think? I mean, Ryberg has been complaining. Do you think they cave and give him the belt or what? That'd be terrible.
I don't think they cave.
I think they're just waiting for Cena to come back.
I think they are.
Yeah. Boop, 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 boop. He's coming back on Memorial Day, dude.
Boop, 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 boop.
God.
I'm excited.
Yeah, at least we still have a month without him. Natalya defeats Emma with Charlotte on commentary. Don't give a shit. Alert, dude. Damian Sandow sighting.
Really? Wasn't on Hulu.
Yeah. It's match is set up as Baron Corbin versus Damian Sandow. Guess what happened?
What happened?
Ziggler comes out, interrupts, you know, attacks Corbin. And the match never happens. Which is just Vince trolling, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That is just it, just Vince. I bet he laughed his ass off backstage at that, dude. I bet they were eating that up. It's like, you want Sandow, do you? And at first I was like, oh, they're going to troll us by having fucking boring Corbin come out and smash him. We didn't even get that. You know, they swerved us hard. But Baron Corbin is terrible still. And he wouldn't be money if he rolled around in a pile of money covered in Pat Patterson's cum. Seriously. Fuck. He's not, like him or not, that dude's not money. And no. Check back in a year or two, and, you know, I'll prove that I'm right. Despite how much they push him. They'll probably push him real hard. I mean, they've proven now that they don't care if you know, a guy is just not over at all. They will still force feed it. And this show had very long matches, dude. Only 6 matches in the show. And that includes that non-match. Well, I guess it does not, actually. I take that back. So, 6 matches on this show. And that's down even for them. So, I don't know what the deal is there. Long matches and just kind of a nothing fucking show. Roman Reigns, and they advertised early, Roman Reigns and Del Rio in the main event? What? I don't understand what they're thinking is there. And, dude, Robot Reigns selling in this match. Do you see the spot where he's kind of down and he starts shaking in the corner?
Yeah, that was fucking
ridiculous. His selling is fucking terrible.
Oh, everything he does is terrible.
I mean, that's the thing. It's the thing now. Like, oh, he goes, you know, Smarks talking shit on. It's like, it's in the fashion now to shit on people who shit on Reigns. But, dude, he's terrible, man. I fucking have been watching wrestling my entire life. And I think I know a little bit about wrestling. And this guy's terrible at everything. Is there anything he's good at?
Getting booed.
He's not. He can't talk. He can't wrestle. He can't sell. He looks like a fucking caveman. Oh, God. There was a good segment, though, backstage with him and Styles. And Styles comes up and pulls the over-the-top hat turn. As a reference like 10 people got. You see that? I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good, yeah.
I'm a machine, dude. When you turn the hat around, it turns the machine on. Also before Reigns comes out, they show a video of him with Make-A-Wish kids. He comes down, huggy, and as he gets in the ring, he hugs a couple of Make-A-Wish kids in the front row.
Yep. They're trying everything. They're still trying to push it.
It's unbelievable. Like, dude, you've reduced yourself to having him hug sick children before he gets in the ring. Holy fuck.
And it's not working. That's not working. Nothing is going to work.
Going back a little bit, too, I guess some of my missed notes that I have here. Jericho put Ambrose into the walls of Jericho on the announce desk. Stop doing this. Why does they sell that doing a submission on the table is anything different than the ring?
Mm-hmm. That was like, really dumb, I thought.
It doesn't. They do that quite a bit. I've seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, right here on the desk. Like, what on the desk? It doesn't matter what you're on when you do it, dude. There's no point to that. Even in the, you know, within the confines of kayfabe, it makes no sense. You know, just like a logic thing, it's stupid. And also this Miz and Cesaro segment, dude, was that on your Hulu version?
Which segment?
Miz and Cesaro?
No.
Oh, you're lucky. They stand in the ring exchanging, like, movie quote stuff as their promo.
Really?
So the Miz literally go, you know, does the "Are you feeling lucky, punk?" And, you know, and then Cesaro pulls his glasses down and does the "go ahead, make my day." I fucking winced at this. This was bad.
Wasn't. I'm glad they didn't put this in. They didn't make me watch this.
Why are you doing this with Cesaro, man? He even go out there and say all this corny. Whoever writes that shit, honestly.
Because he looks like fucking Jason Statham with that goddamn stupid fucking suit on. So I say, get rid of the fucking suit.
I don't mind.
Was he in the suit while this was going on?
Oh, yes, he was.
Of course he was, because they went...
I don't mind the suit. I just don't understand. Like, okay, the dude comes out in a suit with glasses and all that shit, but he comes out to... You know?
That's actually better than the actual music. Good work.
It's the Jim Vicious remix. It starts with one of the most annoying sounds in the world.
Yep.
His song may as well start with like a baby crying or a dog barking. When he came back, I don't know, was that on Raw, the Raw after Mania?
Yep.
He should have had a new song. It was a perfect opportunity. Just come up with something. Anything's better than that song. It really is one of the worst entrance themes in all of WWE.
Yeah.
It's not good. And that shit just, I just don't know what to say about that. Miz and Cesaro, I hope they put the belt on Cesaro, but we'll see.
You'd think they would.
Give him a new fucking song.
It's logical.
Whoa.
Wow.
So you're saying they won't do it?
They did not a fucking chance, nah.
I mean, overall, it was, you know, a decent Raw, like I said. I'm not, any of these shows are better than the Raws that we had in the last year, easily. I mean, in the duration of this show, which, you know, came, which started whatever it is, you know, 60 weeks ago-ish, 50-some weeks ago, these are the best Raws of that time period, in my opinion. Like, let's not forget what where we've come from, you know? Right. Let's not forget, like, half hour of Seth Rollins in the ring doing
John
to start the fucking thing. So, not bad, all in all. And then, like I said, the ratings are at their worst right now. And we didn't get into it with Max out, but before we started recording, we were talking about it. They both bailed after WrestleMania, and that's what happened. A lot of people bailed after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, oddly, they're missing the best Raw's been in quite some time.
At least a year.
And I just fear, following WWE logic, that this will be, well, see, these guys aren't over. You know, we put Sami Zayn and Owens and AJ Styles and all these guys in, you know, up strong, and the ratings are terrible. So these guys obviously aren't popular or over. Because, you know, that's how they do things.
Yeah, that's how they, that's logic.
That is how they fucking operate. So,
WWE.
So I'm going to give it 5 Virgil Breadstrick drum solos out of 10.
I'm going to give it 5 Cesaro stupid suits out of 10.
Tearaway suits out of 10?
Yep. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
No, sir.
I have a big problem with it.
You really? See, the thing is, like, I don't mind it. I just, the song needs to change, and then
yeah,
I would.
Yeah, I think it might be a combination of both of those things combined. Maybe the suit is making the music clash, or
even if it was making
the suit clash to me. I don't know.
Even if it was like a Bond kind of ripoff thing, I mean, I don't know.
What are you going to have them do? Come from the rafters then, or like ride a train?
Nobody gets to come from the rafters anymore, dude.
Nobody.
No, last guy didn't go very well. Nice. NXT.
Oh yeah, there is that too.
Dude, I really gotta talk about the opening match on NXT.
What was it again?
Asuka versus Eva Marie.
This was bullshit. Yeah.
Holy fuck! And I saw it started off. If this lasts longer than a minute, they have done a complete disservice to the booking of Asuka. And having her come out and put on a competitive match with Eva Marie is fucking ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, that was total, like, yeah.
It's unbelievable, dude. Yeah. It ruined it.
Why
almost
even
like,
try? Yeah, it almost ruined Asuka.
I mean, to Joe Blow, it doesn't. But, like, dude, to me, that takes so much steam off of her, so much heat off of her. To have her like, oh, she barely beats Eva Marie? Dude.
Silly.
Just bad. And that chick is fucking terrible. The punches she's throwing in there? Oh my god. It'd make the fucking Pope weep. I couldn't do that. It's bad. as Eva Marie is very familiar with, this match was an abortion.
No.
It's the latest in a line of abortions from Eva Marie. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Terrible. Moving into the Revival versus Parker and Lee. I don't have their first names offhand because, I mean, who gives a shit? But these guys, I was like, okay, these guys are in matching tights. Maybe they're going to have a team name. Nope. They're just Bobby Parker and, you know, Ricky Lee or whatever the fuck their names are. I was like, so what's the point of them having matching tights? And what do the 3Ds on their tights stand for? And, like, what is this? I don't... But, dude, it reminded me how fucking awesome the Revival were. I still like that team a lot, man. Yeah. And I would watch them put on fucking matches, like tag matches like they do, indefinitely. I'll take that shit every week, man. I just enjoy their fucking work, man. Doing old school shit. And then they beat the shit out of the guys at the end, which was awesome. I just enjoy that team, man. I still think they're worthy of getting the belts back at some point, and I think they could be something, man. I don't know. A lot of people don't like them. They don't think there's much to it, but to me, man, I just enjoy all the double teams and just the fact that they kick the shit out of everybody, you know? They've just constantly beating the shit out of people.
Solid, you know? Tag wrestling.
Yeah, whatever happened to that, man? You don't see that a lot anymore. Not as much where, like, a heel beats a face and then just, like, beats him down for no reason, you know? Mm-hmm. That's good shit. You also had the Hype Bros versus the Ass Fuck Twins.
The Dude Bros and Ass Fuck Twins.
Yeah. Nice. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, dude, the Ass Fuck Twins are terrible.
Yeah.
And as we've established, I could see the Dude Bros being a SmackDown team.
Oh, yeah.
A lower, you know, a lower card tag team.
Superstars,
yeah. Which I guess isn't even on TV in America, from what I understand.
No, not anymore. Still get it on Hulu, I think.
It's on in Canada.
Is it?
Yeah.
Poor Fuds.
Poor Fuds. Hey, sorry, Fuds.
Sorry, dear Fuds.
So there was that. Carmella and Aaliyah. If you watched Breaking Ground, you're familiar with this Aaliyah chick. She was cringeworthy on Breaking Ground. She's trying to, like, come up with her entrance, and she knows nothing about anything, really. She's just terrible, and Regal has to stand there and watch this chick, like, she's like, okay, here's what I've got, and she comes and does it, and Regal's just like, oh, fucking kill me. She's bad, and she's tiny, and she's not believable as a wrestler. To me, she's a diva, and not a woman wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said before, to me, if you're going to drop the term diva, great. But you need to get rid of diva performers, you know, and get women wrestlers. Because, dude, Carmella, same shit, man. If you're 5'2 and 85 pounds, you're not believable as a wrestler.
Nope.
And if you are going to be smaller like that and more, you know, less jacked, like a Sasha Banks, for example, you need to be fucking really good in the ring. And these girls are not. Carmella's not good.
No.
I don't care what anyone says. She's bad. And I heard Asuka's hurt, too.
Really?
Or not Asuka. Take that back. Bayley.
Oh, I was gonna
People
say
were saying Bayley's hurt. I looked around online before we started. I didn't see anything about that, so Bayley may be hurt, I guess. I don't know. Either way, I don't feel like they have a lot left on there. They have Asuka and they have Bayley. And those are the top tier. And then below that, you have, what, like Bliss, I guess?
Yeah.
Who's okay. Carmella's okay. But I don't know what else they have going on down there. They have, what, like 60 fucking women under contract down there?
Something like that, yeah. There's a lot of them down there.
I don't know. And your main event was Shinsuke Nakamura and Elias Samson.
I knew you were going to like this match.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. I started laughing when they announced that match. I was like, yep.
You know, you get this Nakamura debuts and has match of the year so far in WWE with Sami Zayn, and since then it's been dumb. Since then he wrestled Ty Dillinger and now Elias Samson, And again, it's similar to the Asuka thing. Making these people even in the same level of him is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He should have smashed Ty Dillinger. And I know they're trying to build Samson. Good luck with that shit. But I wouldn't have put him against him if that's the case. You know? Just keep Samson aside and put some jabroni out there. Well, some other jabroni. And have Nakamura smash him. You know? That would be way more. I think having him go in a competitive match with this guy, again, just seems very fucking goofy to me.
Yep.
I don't know. And Nakamura has more fucking charisma just walking to the ring than like 99% of the roster does, period, in everything they do. I would rather watch just Nakamura walk to the ring than watch like most of these fucking people wrestle.
In the match before that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Exactly. To me, the best thing on this was like Nakamura walking down to the ring. The highlight of the show. So, very fucking boring. Yeah. NXT, yeah. And I guess it's been leaked. I don't know if it's spoiling anything, but I guess maybe it is. But the main event for the next NXT TakeOver, which is in June, has been announced, and it's Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. So,
oh, shocking.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Boring.
Another match.
I didn't, like, when they were, like, people were mad that they had that one on the house show where he won the belt, I was like, good, I don't want to see these guys wrestle anymore. I'm good on this, man.
Yep, I'm done with this now. Thank you.
Thank you. Come again.
Thank you.
Yeah, not really interested, man. So, we're going to do it again. I don't know. Maybe they're just... Well, I guess, no, they recorded it, so, I mean, that's going to be the case. Well, whatever. We'll see. Hopefully the card has some other good shit. I mean, they haven't really set up Nakamura with anybody yet, so... That could be interesting. I just want to see him in badass matches. I don't want to see him with shitty guys in stories. I want to see, like, when Rollins comes back. I'd love to see, like, Nakamura and Rollins.
Fuck, yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be way
despite
good.
Both being Japan and both working in Japan, I don't think there's ever been Hideo Itami and Nakamura match. I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
He should be coming back, right? What happened to that fucking guy? He dropped off.
Pretty soon, I think, right?
You'd expect. Seems like he's been gone for a long fucking time. That could be good. I don't know if they'll put, like, Japanese guy versus Japanese guy necessarily, but separating them, I guess, is cool, too, because then you get both of them, you know. But Itami needs to have some good matches with some higher-level guys who are, you know, now that Zayn is gone and Owens, and who are the top guys down there, really, like, as far as the work rate and shit. I mean, you got Balor and Nakamura, Joe.
Joe.
What else you got? I mean, guys who are way down, you know, they got Swan, who's fucking great, but he's way down on the card. He's going to be in that cruiserweight.
You got Cruz, but or is he all done with NXT now?
Cruz is done with NXT too, I think.
Yeah.
Well, until they send him back down there for underperforming under their terrible booking.
Yeah, all right. What about Boring Corbin?
Fuck. I think he's done down there too.
Mm.
So, it's going to be, you know, and their answer to that is No Way Jose. And the Drifter and Ty Dillinger. Oh, man. Could be fucking interesting.
This might hurt a little bit.
This might hurt a little bit, yeah. So, that was NXT. I thought it was aight. You know, SmackDown really didn't have much of merit.
Never does.
Furthering the AJ Styles and Roman bullshit. They did have the breakup of the League of Nations on the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which was weird because...
Devastating. My heart is broken.
Because, like I said, on Monday, they all came out on their solo entrances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what the fuck? I was like, on Monday, I was like, oh, this is no longer a thing? And they're like, oh, shit, we gotta fucking break that up. And it was the way they put it was, oh, they're going to prove that they're still together and stronger than ever by challenging, you know, any three superstars to a match, and it turns out to be Kalisto, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. What a fucking mix that was.
Right.
Although the only cool thing about it really was that there's no Americans in that match.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Hmm. Two Mexicans, a Canadian, Irishman, a Bulgarian. Pretty good. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Yeah, they did actually do the Corbin-Sandow match did take place on SmackDown. Guess who won?
Sandow with the devastating top rope maneuver, right?
Yeah. Let's just go with Sandow won.
Shit. That's funny.
Boring Corbin. His light, his entrance, the lights are now, remember how the lights were white?
Mm-hmm.
They are now red.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Taking it to the next level, dude.
Yeah. Taking it to an entirely next level.
Enzo and Cass defeated Social Outcasts. More Golden Truth backstage segments. I wish I knew how long this has been going on. If anyone out there, if you know how long this has been happening, when the first vignette for this started taking place, please tweet us at Suplex City Limit and let me know. It seems like forever, doesn't it?
It does.
This whole year, maybe?
Damn near.
Yeah, Goldust wants to talk to R-Truth about the Golden Truth. And, you know, Truth is now, I guess, teamed up with Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze comes out and, you know, they're kind of buddies. And R-Truth has a selfie stick that's, like, literally made of sticks. And Goldung, and then, Fandango comes out. And, so Goldust is with him as a team. And I was like, oh, is this going to be, you know, the next match? It wasn't.
No.
Apollo Crews and Stardust again. Apollo Crews wins again. It's the same match. What's the point of that? The same fucking match. And the main event on SmackDown? Roman Reigns versus The Miz.
Oh, man. I missed it. Damn it.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Roman Reigns wins. Gallows and Anderson come in. They attack. AJ kind of pushes them off and kind of still building on the, are they working with him? Are they not? I don't think that's very interesting at all.
No.
The only interesting part of this is going to be the payoff is what happens on Sunday. They turn on him. I mean, that seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Those guys are going to be full-blown heels.
Are they going to team up with Reigns, though? No.
I don't think they'll team up on Reigns, but I think they'll turn on AJ.
Yeah, that could be.
So.
We can just kind of touch on Payback here, which will be happening.
It's either that or they're going to try to turn AJ heel. But that's not going to work, though. There's no way that's going to work.
That's crazy. That's not going to work, dude.
No, that's no way. Not in that match.
I think they're just going to fucking troll us by having Reigns beat him. And I mean, there's no way that Reigns drops the belt, right? I mean, come on.
We can only hope.
You can hope all you want. Hope in one hand, shit in the other. Tell me which one fills up faster, dude.
Well, I have eaten a lot of cheese lately, so. Oh. I don't think the shit one would be. No, I'm just totally kidding.
Some Chez?
Some Chez. No.
You eat Chez. I guess it also was announced on Raw in that opening segment that on Payback, Vince will announce who will control Raw.
Oh.
So. And I'm sure that his decision will be final.
Oh, yeah.
And, what the fuck was, dude? The booking of WrestleMania. What in the fuck? Shane has now ran Raw since then.
Yeah. It's
like that. Why?
Because you can't have the Undertaker lose in any more WrestleManias.
You know, I know that Shane is only an on-screen thing, but doesn't it seem like the booking in general has changed on Raw?
Yeah, like somebody
since WrestleMania,
like somebody knows what they're doing. Has got a hold of that
piece of a little bit more, anyway. Right? I'm not going to applaud them too much, but it definitely does seem like there's been a change in the guard as far as how things are presented, because WrestleMania and the months coming into it was some of the worst booking I've ever seen out of this company.
Oh, it was toxic, all right.
Definitely. Yeah, so the matches on the card, the kickoff show, Ryback and Kalisto. That his entire title reign has been on the pre-show?
Yep.
Every match he's had at a pay-per-view has been in the pre-show.
Every match he had on Raw was on a pre-show, too.
Corbin and Ziggler, like I said before, they'd have to have knives in this fight for me to give a shit.
Are they fighting over a jean jacket?
Let's say that they are. That would make it more interesting.
Yeah, at least it would be add a little twist to it, a little story.
Because right now I don't know what they're fighting over, so a jean jacket would be a step up. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, which will easily be the fucking match of the night.
Easily.
I don't see anybody coming in and stealing that from them.
Nope.
It's Jericho and Ambrose should be passable.
Should be.
I hope they put Ambrose over. They'll put Ambrose over, right?
Yeah.
they never have. Number one contenders tag match, Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy versus the Vaudevillains. I kind of feel like there's going to go a little curveball here, and it's going to be the Vaudevillains, man.
I think what they should have done is had a triple threat match with those teams.
Hmm. I would have been all right.
But what do I know?
More than them, Rando. And we're going to get into talking triple threats and or four-way matches here in a minute and how to do them, not the shitty, lazy WWE. Women's title match, Charlotte and Natalya with Bret Hart and Ric Flair on the outside. Bret Hart maybe saves the match for Natalya. He wins by negativity or something.
I don't know what happens there. I don't really care, to be honest with you.
I don't give a fuck either. Miz and Cesaro. Hopefully they put it on Cesaro.
Yeah, that one. It's about time Cesaro gets some gold back. Not a tag.
Could be a decent match. Miz is terrible. And then, Reigns and Styles. So, there you go. Should be an interesting event. Like I said, as far as all things considered, really, not bad, right? I mean, because, not long ago we were talking about, Big Show and Kane having matches on pay-per-view, so.
Yeah.
So, at least we don't have that to fucking contend with. So that's something.
It makes my brain hurt a little less. Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about Lucha Underground from this week. The finals of the Trios tournament. This was a great show, man. Two matches on the card. That's it.
But they were great matches, by the way.
They were badass. Again, very fucking good. Good show. They started off with the cage match.
Cage in a cage.
Yeah. Cage in a cage. Mundo with Taya versus Cage in a cage for one of the medallions. I like cage matches in Lucha Underground, man.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely badass. And I was going to say, dude, Taya, I give that chick a lot of fucking props, man. She's doing shit that not a lot of women would do in wrestling.
No.
Whether it's taking like a superplex off the top to the outside through a table from Cage, or jumping off the top of the cage here. Like, she's a fucking legit badass, that chick.
She's a badass.
She's fucking hot, too.
Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
I thought it was really good. They really did a lot of good, smart things here. She tries to put in the kendo stick and, eventually gets in the hands of Cage. And I thought it was a really kick-ass match, like, overall. Like, this is better than most matches on WWE, pay-per-views, honestly. Double teams. Eventually, she jumps off the cage and gets in there. They're doing some sweet double teaming moves. Speaking of Gallows and Anderson, they kind of did a modified magic killer in there. I thought that was pretty sweet. But Mundo accidentally attacks Taya with the chair. Cage takes the match. I thought it was awesome, man. They haven't had a lot of cage matches, and
I think this is definitely the first one we've had, right?
I think they had a cage match last year.
Was there a cage match last year? Okay.
Yeah, I think there was.
Okay.
And then you have the, that was a good long match too, back and forth, a lot of fun. And, I don't know if this is going to be the end between Mundo and Cage. That's kind of been going on for a long time, but it's not stale yet.
No,
I don't feel, bored of it. I'm still enjoying it. So now you have Cage with, one of the Aztec seals. So, and then you had the four-way trios match. So, we talk a lot about in WWE how shitty it is when they get a bunch of people in together because they book them like shit. This here had 11 people and was damn good. I guess this is where Angelico is injured. They kind of put like he had to be rushed out, but I believe he's legit was hurt this year.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was. So he was out of the match due to injury. So they had to kind of go two-man style. But as far as trying to call anything in this, I mean, is there anything that sticks out for you? There was so much
in
here.
There was so much shit going on. Nothing flies out at me right off the top of my head, but there was so many fucking spots in this.
The thing that came to mind on this was, a lot of times in WWE, even with a triple threat match, it's very lazy. It's one guy goes out and, sleeps next to the ring while the other two do shit. It's very formulated for WWE. This had spots with all four people, all four legal people doing spots all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all four people are in the ring and shit's happening. Why can't that happen in four-way matches in WWE? I mean, there's so much choreographed shit in here. It was amazing. Like, one guy does it onto the other guy, and then boom, another guy comes in and hits him, and then the fourth guy comes in and takes him out, like chain reactions and shit like that. This is fucking good. Ryan, Cisco, and Castro were the first to be eliminated.
Surprise.
That was awesome in this, too. Stryker brings up the guy who was killed last year. He's like, our Vampiro dude. He's like, whatever happened to that guy? Stryker's like, yeah, I don't know. People come and go in the temple. Which I also forgot last week. Was it last week? At the end that they had that... it closed with the police station scene. And they kind of had a wall of missing. And it was like dead, the first guy. And then it had missing. And you see that they had like Blue Demon Jr.
Yep.
Del Rio. And fucking Hernandez.
Yep, I seen that.
How hard did you pop for that?
I popped pretty good on that. That was pretty funny.
It's fucking great. I thought it was just fucking well done.
Attention to detail.
Yeah, dude, right? And the Leave Elise and Son of Havoc were the second to be eliminated. So, from here we knew we had new trios tag champions.
Mm-hmm.
And it really got good after this, man.
Yes, it did.
Like once it got down to these two groups of three, a lot of spots where, out to the outside, one guy flies over the crowd, onto a crowd of people, and then they get up, and another guy launches over the top. Just spots for days in this match. 619s all around, and new Lucha Underground Trios champions, Rey Mysterio, Dragon Azteca Jr., and Prince Puma. I love that team. That's three super fucking good guys all together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, badass. I mean, it was pretty predictable that that's where it would go. But that's great, man. I remember how giddy we were. Like, next year, like, oh, man, what if Ray comes in and he's in a trios team and shit? And here it is, man.
Yep, and it happened.
I think Anseca Jr. is fantastic.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He is some really good fucking shit in there, man. Same with, obviously, with Puma. Just watching this, too, and how effortless everything looks from Puma. Ricochet is so fucking smooth with everything he does. Just good shit. And the show closed with a fucking interesting Vampiro and Pentagon Jr.
That was rather interesting, yeah.
It's all smoky and shit. How creepy was Pentagon Jr. like rolling up in a motorized wheelchair? Something about that was really fucking weird to me. Kind of creepy. But yeah, he like spills acid, I guess, or
candle wax.
Something.
Candle wax.
Well, it said candle wax. The recap thing I was looking at, people were saying like acid or something. But yeah, it was more like candle wax is what I thought as well. You know, to get up out of the chair, he falls on the ground, and I guess the end, it ends with him laying on the ground? I don't know. Pretty interesting. I like the Pentagon Jr. and Vampiro shit. It's definitely an interesting storyline, and who knows what's going to happen next week, man.
Right?
Who knows? I know Matanza and Cueto are supposed to be back, I think, next week after the crazy through the roof of the office spot last week. So should be interesting, man, as we build towards Ultima Lucha. Can't wait for that. To me, honestly, that's like the pinnacle of the wrestling year is Ultima Lucha.
Oh, absolutely.
Like fuck your WrestleMania. Well, I'm stoked for Ultima Lucha. So good shit, man. And yeah, it's kind of the week in wrestling right there as far as the news and the shows. All in all, not a bad week of wrestling.
Not a terrible week, no. We've definitely had worse.
Got some Payback coming up. Probably cook up some food, have a good time, watch that shit. Till the main event, anyway. let's take this opportunity to talk about what's coming up on Suplex City Limits. Next week, we will be joined by the Fudderation Podcast boys, the Fudge Brothers, for the second Suplex City Limits Fudderation Super Show. We will be recapping Payback and, you know, the usual, but we'll be breaking down Payback. Stoked for that. Always a fun time with the Fudge Brothers,
man. Always a good time with them fellas.
So we have that Super Show coming up. Episode 59. The drummer of Lords of Sorcery and Finest Line Divides, our buddy Chut Tavind will be on the show. That'll be pretty cool. Dude I was in played a lot of rock and roll with for a lot of years. He'll be swinging by. He's a kick-ass dude. And then just booked episode 60. We'll be joined by male porn star and co-star of Sunny Side Up, starring WWE Diva Sunny, Derek Pierce.
That should be really interesting.
Yeah. I would have never guessed that when we started this podcast that I would eventually be interviewing a porn star. So I'm interested to see. I'm interested to talk to this guy. I've never talked to anybody who's had sex with thousands of women on tape. So this should be real interesting. We'll talk about Sunny Side Up. He's an MMA guy, so UFC 200 coming up. Maybe we'll talk a little MMA. That should be fun. He's a kick-ass dude. So definitely check those shows out. And as always, you know, definitely check out our friends, the Fudderation. Check out their show, New Blood Rising Podcast, Spanish Announce Table Podcast, and the Put 'Em Over Podcast. Those shows are awesome, and those guys are good dudes, so check them out. And that'll take us to the Hall of Fame for this week.
Who's your Hall of Fame this week?
You know, I kind of fucked around and didn't think about it all week, and, you know, decided last minute we're going to go with the chairman of WCW, La Parca.
Awesome. Nice.
Continuing my induction of luchadors into our Hall of Fame. La Parca is fucking awesome. Now he's out as LA Park. I guess they had a deal where AAA owned the name and kind of took it away from him. So
really?
Now he has to be LA Park. Mm. How gay is that? The 52nd inductee into the Hall of Fame. Now, for a bigger guy, as far as, you know, luchadors go, I always thought he was, you know, fairly high-flying for the size he was. And it was definitely one of the better, you know, one of the mainstays of WCW, you know, during that whole cruiserweight run. Mm-hmm. Although, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me that guy weighs less than 225 pounds back then. That's probably a stretch,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
But yeah, he first kind of came, you know, into prominence on the When Worlds Collide show, which was that joint AAA and WCW show that is not on the network, but can be found on YouTube and is definitely worth checking out. That's what that show, which had a lot of AAA talent with WCW production, was the reason that you saw Rey Mysterio, Psicosis, Conan. You saw a lot of those guys go to ECW and then ultimately to WCW, all because of that show. And, you know, in WCW, I enjoyed La Parca, especially with the when he had the chair. And he'd come out and do the zany dance, play the guitar on the chair, smash people with fucking chairs. I always enjoyed it, too. As far as, like, mask and costume, it's fantastic, man. I always enjoyed it, so. 52nd inductee, La Parca.
Boom. Filling up fast.
It's filling up fast. And, yeah, man, we'll see how far the we can go with this. I think we got we've got a couple years of the Hall of Fame left. Yeah. And by then, a lot of guys who are working now will retire. I think we'll be good.
Next.
What's going on over there?
We only got four of them we'd put in that are working now.
Is that right?
No, I'm just kidding.
There's not a lot of guys who are current.
Not in the WWE, anyway.
Oh, that's true. Because we've got, like, Ray, Liger, come to mind. The Dudleys.
Yeah, the Dudleys.
So, yeah, there's not a lot of them. Sadly, a lot of them are dead. So,
yeah.
That was the Hall of Fame for this week. I think that's going to do it for the show.
Is that the show?
That's the whole thing? That's what is that what the listeners are thinking right now? Like, it's over already?
It's the whole thing already?
Yeah,
no, they're not. So, they didn't listen this far. You know they didn't.
We just start putting weird Easter eggs at the end. Yep. You know, just to see who does it. But yeah, man, thanks again to the guys from Max Out. Check them out on Twitter, at Max Out Band. That's with two X's. If you went for two X's, why not go for three?
You know? Right.
We should have asked them about that. And closing the show this week will be Kayfabe from Max Out. So check that out on YouTube. And we'll be back next week recapping Payback with the Fudge Brothers from the Federation Podcast. Good shit.
That'll be a good time.
So until then, may you get all of the dick and or pussy that you desire. And remember that a winner is...
in the ground, bug to sell with the book again. Walking